Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, April 21st, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, before we get started, I need to atone for a grave mistake on yesterday's show.
Another one?
No, this is one of mine, not one of yours. But when discussing the
Judy.
James, I'm trying to be serious and apologize here. When discussing the great Sheldon Harnick's upcoming Lifetime Achievement Award, I said that his latest show, Kid Victory, written with new collaborator Greg Pierce, would debut at the Vineyard this season. The only problem is Sheldon Harnick has nothing to do with Kid Victory. Somehow I mixed up the legendary Sheldon Harnick with the equally legendary John Kander. And as I said on Twitter this morning, I swear not all iconic musical theater writers look the same to me. So I beg the listeners' forgiveness. Mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. I won't let it happen again. I feel better. I'm glad I got that off my chest.
Judy Gold.
I know. I knew what you were going for. So, you know, we can't all be perfect.
All right. We have some major Broadway casting and show news.
We do. Yesterday, we got two pretty big pieces of casting news. I'm not sure which is bigger, to be honest. So I'm going to go alphabetically by show name. First, right as you were getting the earworm that is Let It Go out of your head from 2013, the New York Post Page Six reported yesterday that the wonderfully talented and charming Betsy Wolf has been cast as Elsa in the Broadway-bound adaptation of the juggernaut Disney animated film Frozen. The show has been going through labs over the past few months and will debut in Denver next summer before making its way to Broadway in 2018. Last summer, Wolf starred in the world premiere of the new musical Up Here at the La Jolla Playhouse, written by Frozen songwriters Bobby and Kristen Anderson Lopez. It's interesting. Wolf has sung Let It Go a couple of times over the past few years, first comically in 2015 with the Skivvies, and then just last month at Carnegie Hall with Bobby Lopez at the piano. You would think that maybe we would have taken that as a hint, don't you, James? Kind of like Sarah Bareilles singing Little Mermaid during a waitress tech delay like 2 days before being announced as playing Ariel in the Hollywood Bowl.
Absolutely. Betsy Wolf. We love Betsy Wolf. Back in October of 2013, we interviewed her on This Week on Broadway, and she is charming as she is talented.
Yeah, she's one of my favorites, and I'm excited to see her get to lead a show. She's had some really good supporting and featured roles, kind of playing the second banana and some other things. So I'm excited to see what she can do as the big dog in the show.
So Page Six, any other confirmation of this or
not yet? Disney has not confirmed anything. But Betsy Wolf did tweet out thanking people for all their support and saying that if she could give everybody a big hug for all of their kind words today, she would. So I think that's more or less confirmation of the fact.
All right. What's up next?
Okay. Major casting news number two comes from Roger Friedman's Showbiz 411, as he reports that American Sniper and Burnt co-stars Sienna Miller and Bradley Cooper recently took part in a reading of The Philadelphia Story, directed by Roundabout Scott Ellis, which is eyeing a fall 2016 or spring 2017 Broadway run. Both were last seen on Broadway last season as Cooper headlined The Elephant Man, and Miller took over from Emma Stone in Roundabout's revival of their Cabaret revival. James, they're not Hepburn and Grant, but these two are a pretty good on-screen pair. So I think this sounds like a pretty good coupling.
Is this one of your favorite movies?
It's not. I've seen the stage show. I've also seen High Society, which is the Cole Porter musical based on the play. It's not one of my favorites, but I enjoy it. It's Yar.
All right, let's move forward to the Drama League Award nominations.
It's that time of year, so another day means another set of theater award nominations. Yesterday, the leads of Broadway's Aladdin announced this year's Drama League nominees. Like yesterday's Outer Circle Critics nominations, Shuffle Along and Paramore, which could have been eligible for the Drama League Awards, asked to be part of next year's consideration instead of this year's. Tangentially, the New York Times is reporting that the producers of Shuffle Along are angling to get the show considered a revival in terms of Tony nominations in order to avoid the Hamilton steamroller. The Drama League sets up their awards a little differently than most of the other major theater awards. They usually nominate pretty much every show that got positive reviews, especially on Broadway, and nearly every actor or actress that you've ever heard of. And the four show categories, which combine Broadway and off-Broadway productions, can have up to 10 nominees. And the Distinguished Performance Award includes 50 different nominees, but names only one winner, and an actor can only win once in a lifetime. All of the shows and performers that you would expect are included: Hamilton, The Humans, Waitress, A View from the Bridge, and so on. But one of the great things about the Drama League opening up their nominations is that a lot of lesser-known productions can get some recognition as well, rubbing elbows with some of those bigger, higher-profile shows. Like Soho Rep's 10 out of 12 and Playwrights Horizons' Her both got two nominations. Soho Rep and Ars Nova's musical Futurity was also nominated in the Best Musical category. So that's kind of fun to see these lesser-known shows that the more Broadway-focused audiences might not have heard of get some recognition and hopefully help promote a little bit of an afterlife for the show in other markets. The Drama League also announced a couple of special awards. Sheldon Harnick, and yes, I promise it was actually Sheldon Harnick, will be recognized for his distinguished achievement in musical theater. Def West will be given the unique contribution to the Theater Award, and Ivo Van Hove will be presented with the Founders Award for Excellence in Directing. Megan Hilty and Zachary Levi, both of whom are distinguished performance nominees this year, will host the 82nd Drama League Awards on Friday, May 20th, at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square.
So this morning we talked about the Outer Critics Circle, and I got an email right away asking me, you know, what is the Outer Critics Circle, and I'll probably get one tomorrow saying, what is the Drama League? So should we define what these organizations are?
I think you are probably being a much more of an insider in those worlds. I think you would be a great person to define those, James.
So the Outer Critics Circle is the official organization of writers on the New York Theater for out-of-town newspapers, national publications, and other media beyond Broadway. Basically, the out-of-town critics.
Yeah, it makes sense. The Drama League is an organization that is dedicated to creating transformative interactions between artists and audiences above and beyond the performances they experience. Each year, they produce over 100 theater-themed events across New York City, including the oldest theatrical honors in North America, the Drama League Awards. I don't know that that's as nearly as specific as the Outer Critics, but or Outer Circle Critics, but that's the definition of what the Drama League does.
All right. So we can hold off another day until the next Drama Desk, I guess, will be the next one that'll come our way.
That's next week, yeah.
So tell us about these stage-to-screen developments that have happened.
Yeah, we had a couple fairly big news about some movies being adapted for the stage. Earlier this week on Today on Broadway, I recommended the second season of Netflix's Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and that show plays in nicely with some news that was made at the Tribeca Film Festival on Tuesday night. Tina Fey, who writes, produces, and guest stars on the show, said that now that season two of Kimmy Schmidt has launched, she will be getting to work on the musical adaptation of the film that she wrote called Mean Girls. She'll be working with her husband, composer Jeff Richmond, and lyricist Nell Benjamin, who worked on a similar project that I happen to believe is criminally underrated, Legally Blonde the Musical. While the Mean Girls adaptation has been in the works for a while, Fey and company will have some extra time to work on it because Ellie Kemper, who plays Kimmy Schmidt, conveniently got pregnant after filming on season two Wrapped. So Tina Fey will have a little more time to work on that script. The other stage to screen news is, James, are you a big Bollywood fan?
I can't say that I'm a big Bollywood fan, but I'm excited for new stuff to come out of Bollywood. We talked about the Tommy Tune thing that I thought he was going to focus on a Bollywood musical.
Yeah, let's talk about that in a second. But there is a Bollywood show being adapted for the stage, and that is Meera Nayyar's hit Bollywood film Monsoon Wedding. It will make its world premiere at the Berkeley Rep in California during their 2016-2017 season. As she did with the film, Nayyar will direct, and the show will feature a book by Sabrina Diwan, music by Vishal Bahardwaj. Sorry, Michael Portantier, help me, and lyrics by Susan Birkenhead. So it is interesting to see how we've had a few Bollywood shows come and go throughout the years, but this is one that seems to be gaining some popularity and is doing the out-of-town tryout thing, and they are saying that this show is Broadway-bound, so we'll see what happens. This, as you kind of alluded to, you guessed that Tommy Tune might be working on a Bollywood show after you interviewed him on This Week on Broadway. He is not attached to this one, so could be cool to see a kind of a Bollywood stage musical rumble trying to get to Broadway first.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's up next?
The recent discriminatory laws passed in a number of southern states have put many local theater organizations and artists in a bind as they try to support the cause, but also fight to continue making art and, in honesty, make a living. There's a really interesting article in American Theater about this, which talks to a number of theater artists in North Carolina and Mississippi specifically, who almost unanimously are encouraging the artistic community to be a part of a larger conversation to try to move the needle on this issue rather than to support boycotts, which would not only dramatically, you know, change the economic situation of those states, but they impact negatively the arts communities more than anything else. So they're hoping that by, you know, putting their faces out there, they can get other artists to recognize, you know what, we don't want to do something that hurts the people who think like we do. We want to try to do something that can change the way that people think so that these laws can be something that are in our past, not in our future.
The economist in me and the business person in me says that systems abhor a vacuum, and if we pull all of our arts out of these areas and in these boycotts that are very high profile right now, something might replace them, and then we'll have nothing there.
That's a good point.
So what's up on the recommendation list?
Well, James, you have kids. Do you take them to the theater often?
I have a confession to make here. I think I made it once before on This Week on Broadway. My children, their first Broadway show was Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, they had a great time, and lots of people had a great time in that show. But since then, they've seen a lot of really good things, and I'm looking forward to taking them to see Peer Gynt down at Classic Stage Company.
Oh, you're,
I would never take them to that. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, Peer Gynt, Spider-Man, you know, similar kind of stuff.
it's all a tragedy.
Yeah. I'm not even going to get into the Julie Taymor stuff here. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because there's a pretty cool article in The New Yorker about a theater company called Replay that hails from Northern Ireland that is producing its original show Babel at the New Victory Theater. I'm not sure if it's still going on. The article didn't have any dates, but get this, James. The show is billed as an immersive theater experience for babies. The idea is that parents will bring their babies to the theater so they can have an experience not only to get the parents in the habit of taking their kids to the theater, but also it's a good way for babies to interact with other babies, which is important to their development. I guess as long as they don't take them to a Patti LuPone show, I guess it can't hurt anything. kids in the theater are always a little – can you imagine? You know, kids in the theater are always, you know, have occasional problems. But I think if you start exposing them to theater for young audience productions at a young age, they'll know how to behave when they get to actual regular theater that's open to a wider audience. So as we've said before, I have no plans or desire to ever have children. But if I did, I think this is something that, as odd as it sounds, I might try to do.
All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. And if you're listening to this, you've listened to our credits, and I'll tell you a secret. We'll have a new show on Saturday.
Whoa.
So stay tuned for that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.